And so what happens now is that we think all these supplemental words are our meal. And so now you can't even run a congregation with one vision because everybody's getting different visions from different pieces and puzzles. You can turn on every TV. My God, if you go on Facebook, everybody and their mother has an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But who gave their life to Christ to die for the people?
Yes.
I mean, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. So unless somebody has given their lives to die for you in order for them to have interest in your life, you shouldn't be listening to them. But we do.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, man, I am fired up. Before we get started today, I want to read off a couple reviews that we've got. So every week at the end of the show, I ask you guys for reviews. And I really just want to say thank you. And a way for me to say thank you is I want to read your name and some of the reviews. But this week was really awesome. If you guys get a chance, go back to episode 23 in its Rusty Pang with Entrepurpose. So this week, I've actually been able to stay friends with Rusty over the course of several months since we did the show. Great guy. And what I love about Rusty is he talks about purpose. He's got a book on purpose. If you get a chance, check it out. And he'll have it. We have links on our site to it. But this week was really cool. And what happened was is a lady by the name of Kaya, I believe, and I might be saying that wrong, but she's an English teacher that just went to China. Somehow she found our podcast over in China, I'm guessing. I don't know how she found it. But anyways, she listened to the podcast and she said immediately after she got Rusty's book. And you guys can get it off of Amazon. I have it. It's a fantastic book about finding purpose and steps to it. And what was awesome, though, is she took the time and she wrote him a very lengthy email. And within that, Rusty forwarded it to me. And what was so just inspiring is that she is making, it made an impact in her life. She's finding purpose. So what excites me about that is to know that this podcast, by us highlighting people out there that are making a difference, people like Rusty and myself and everybody that's been on my show are just impacting culture, impacting society for the glory of God. So another one that I want to read, somebody put it on February 27th. They put best podcast, and this is from Future Speaker 00. And they said, absolutely amazing content. My favorite podcast. I love the authenticity of the speakers and people who love God and know how to keep it real. Thank you so much. ML Woodward. Again, says, the Are You Real podcast is amazing. John does an amazing job. One of my favorite lines, everything is created and designed for a purpose. A tree, for example, takes the CO2 and gives us oxygen. The sun is perfectly placed to give us the right heat and light. If all these things were created for purpose, why wouldn't you be created for purpose? Such a great show. Thank you so much, ML Woodward. And last but not least, I want to give a shout out to another podcast. They came on my show and left a message, left a review as well. It's the Flipping Junkie. I believe he's got a podcast on houses, possibly. Maybe you guys need to go check that out if you're into real estate. But he said, what an inspirational podcast. I love hearing everyone's stories. Thank you. So again, guys, thank you so much for being a part of our show, part of the podcasting Are You Real family. Guys, jump on, leave a review, send us an email. I want to hear about how God's changed your life and the speakers that I bring on, what they're doing to impact you. So again, please email us, leave a review. I want to read them every week, and I just want to thank you guys, and God bless. Enjoy the show. Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am stoked, man, my new friend, Cameron Arnett. Cameron, you ready to roll, brother?
Man, let's get this done because this is about kingdom, brother. So I'm all good with what you want to do.
All right. So guys, check this out. Cameron Arnett is currently the CEO of Cammy Arnett Production Studios, a television, film, and entertainment company, as well as the CEO of BYOBB Media Records, an independent film and television portal and record label. He's also the producer and director of upcoming shows Jesus Is My Booski, which I hope I said that right. BYOBB Blast and BGA Today. His past films, guys, check this out. Mark Peace Experience, Man's Best Friend, and the 5 Dove Award-winning Stand Your Ground. His past television credits include NBC's Miami Vice, Fox's Star Trek The Next Generation, ABC's China Beach, and Doogie Howser MD, and Tyler Perry's Meet the Browns. And most importantly, where I just found him is the co-host and nationally syndicated On the Christian View. All right, Cameron, I only read like a quarter of your bio, dude, on your thing. I didn't even realize how much you've done, brother. You're a total rock star. So tell me more about what you do, some of the things that I read, and let's jump into what you're doing right now.
Well, let me go ahead and start by saying this. You know, what happened is that I was in California, you know, doing my thing as far as film and episodic television, those kind of things. And I had just finished doing a movie of the week in Toronto, Canada. And they brought me in California and said, hey, we want Cameron. We want to do this. We want to do that. And they had given me my first television series starring role, you know, well-known actress, you know, the whole shebang. Good money. Everything was fabulous. But then they gave me the punchline. And the punchline was, but we want you to do partial body nudity. And so when that came in, I was like, oh, you know, that God thing just wouldn't let me go with that. And, you know, I got with the Lord, and the Lord said, it's time to get out of the system. So I dropped everything, man. I got out of Hollywood, got out of the business. You left it for about 14, 15 years, started 2 different churches, came from California to Atlanta, lost everything, went bankrupt, the whole shebang. And, you know, it turns out maybe a good 4 to 5 years ago, God here in Atlanta started resuming my career, if you would, and Atlanta just started exploding, not only in regular film and television, but also the Christian media just started exploding. And so like now in the last 4 or 5 years, I've done 8 or 9 films on the Christian side. And so I'm scheduled to do a television series. I'm scheduled to do another pilot out of California and all kind of things. And all this is in the Jesus realm. So I'm watching God just, you know, replenish and restore things above and beyond all that I can ask or think, man. It's just been astounding.
Man, that is phenomenal. That's exciting. And before we started the show, we were talking about, I told you the lady I sat next to the plane, she was from Atlanta. I didn't even realize you were there, but she was telling me that, I guess you guys produce a lot of films. There's a lot of production going on.
Atlanta is, I would say, probably number 2 now in the nation behind California, but I think it's maybe number 3 around the world right now. And so there's so many productions. They're opening studios here like they're opening, you know, starting, you know, building houses. It is just beyond belief.
Man.
But it is phenomenal.
I need to get my booty over to Atlanta, man. I'm telling you what. Here I come.
It's good stuff, man. No complaints. And again, like I said, a lot of phenomenal Christians here that are, you know, hitting the pavement, are creating content, doing things. So it's not just a hub for secular film and television. There's a groundswell of Christian activity that's happening not only in Atlanta, but also in Georgia as a whole. Because this is, you know, I know you know that Kendrick Brothers are in, you know, Albany, Georgia. So there's a whole lot happening in Georgia when it comes to Christian film. These guys are the top of the line, man, not only in the quality of the film that they're making, but in the Christian heart that they have. So, I mean, hats off to them because they're the prototype.
Yeah, man, that is awesome. I'm digging that. So I want to ask you, let's jump into how you got into acting, though. I'm always curious how you kind of started. So how did you get into acting and what was your like early beginnings?
I was actually had never thought about anything that had to do with acting, but I was a pre-med pre-law student in college. And I played, you know, football, University of Miami. My first year was, you know, JV, you know, this when Lou Saban was around. I got a chance to play with Otis Anderson, Jim Burton, Jim Kelly, those kind of guys. And I answered an ad one time when I was an EKG technician and respiratory therapist at a hospital.
Time out. So you're telling me you've never done, I'm jumping ahead, but you're telling me you've never done any acting at all before you got into it?
No. I hadn't done anything. I was just looking for something new to do for the summer.
Okay, keep going, dude. Keep going.
So I was like, again, pre-med, pre-law and stuff, man. I was on my way to become a cardiologist, and I loved law because, you know, I have this thing about debate and speaking, and, you know, and who knew that it was God preparing me for everything that I do now, you know. But the bottom line is that I answered this ad, and I entered about 10 competitions and ended up winning like 8 out of 10 of them. And so it ended up being something that just snowballed from that point on. I mean, I started doing commercials, you know, started doing theater in Miami and all those kind of things, and went from Miami to New York to California, and the rest became history.
Okay, so in the midst of all that somewhere, because I saw your bio, like you've done Star Trek and all these different things, were you a believer the whole time, or somewhere in the midst of there, you kind of had an experience with the Lord and you got saved, or where does that fall in line?
Well, we all knew about God, but we didn't know God. And so at a certain point in time, I didn't know God at all. You know, I was raised in the church. My mother always took me to drag me, as they say, but always made sure that I had a scriptural foundation. I didn't know at the time, though, how much it had seeped in. But the thing about it is that as I went along, as a matter of fact, the very first competition that I got into, I met this young lady, and she was a born-again Christian. And she got me to sing with her on stage and change the words of a song. You know, it was an old song, Don't You Know With You I'm Born Again, and she turned into Jesus, Don't You Know With You I'm Born Again. And here I am, a secular guy, and she's having me sitting on the stage with her, Jesus, Don't You Know With You I'm Born Again. So you see how God was wrapping me up when I didn't even know it. That's kind of how I got into the real walk into my life towards the real Jesus and the real relationship. When I got to New York, by the time that I got to New York, I knew about God, and I was with an agency, and this guy that was a model, I mean, a great-looking guy. I mean, this guy is like chiseled, I mean, 6'2", you know, you name it. And he's inviting me to go to Models for Christ, and he's, I mean, bona fide Christian. And so we're talking with my agent, or with our agent, and then, you know, he said that he's a Christian, and then we're talking, and I said, yeah, I'm a Christian too. And she goes, Cameron, you're a Christian? I didn't know that. Oh, my God. That was like a dagger.
That's good.
Right? I mean, because you knew he was, but you didn't know I was. And it was like a dagger inside him. And it affected me so much. But that was God saying, see, you know about me, but you don't know me. But when I went to Models for Christ, a gentleman who was in Jews for Jesus, Howard Morgan, was a preacher. He's the one that was invited to come and speak. And I'm telling you, for two, the guy spoke, and God just, I was on the wall. It was just all about my life, and he was just, he hammered into me. And I left that room that night changed.
Okay, so I want to go there. You said change. So obviously you just had this experience with your...
Oh, yeah.
How old are you at that point?
I am 25.
Okay, so you just had this experience. You're kind of, some of your past stuff is coming up. Your mom has really laid some foundational stuff in you. I mean, what happened from there with acting and stuff? Because, I mean, I'm guessing you had some internal conflict going on.
Well, you know, I did and I didn't. The conflict wasn't with acting. The conflict was with who I was in the midst of this whole arena or industry. God didn't really want me to stop acting. And that's something that I realized once I dealt with California. But he did want me to change as a human. And so there are things that I was doing while in that process that I had to change. You know, I couldn't lie. I couldn't this. There's so many things I couldn't do that was kind of part of the mix, if you would. They expect you to lie. They expect you to this. They, you know, because you have to, because everybody's lying.
Okay, well, time out. What do you mean everybody's lying? Explain that to me.
I mean, it is an industry of falsities, you know, fallacies. You know what I'm saying? So everybody is telling a story or having or portraying an image on the inside. They're totally scared, totally, you know, insecure, totally whatever. And they have to play the game because those are the rules.
Gotcha.
You know, I'll give you an example. Whenever you go into an audition, especially for commercials, whenever you go into an audition, they say to you, hey, you know how to roller skate? Sure. Hey, man, you have never been on a pair of roller skates, but you know that you have at least a week to learn.
Exactly.
That was just part of the game.
Right.
And they don't want you to say to them, I don't, but I'll learn by the time that you do it, which is what you do anyway. But they don't want to hear you say that, because if they hire you after you said you didn't know, and you still don't know when you're there, then it's their jobs.
Gotcha.
That's the game.
Okay. That makes sense. So I want to ask you this. How does that, if you're labeled, because you talk about your friend there at the time, this model was obviously open mm-hmm. about his faith. How does that
right.
affect people? Because as soon as you said that, the first person I thought of is it Shia LaBeouf, the one that was in Transformers?
Yeah.
Like he uh-huh. came out and openly talked about his faith. I don't know if he got saved on stage or something happened. Where I'd read an article, he was asking Brad Pitt some questions or something. It was really interesting, the article that I had read. And mm-hmm. I haven't seen the guy since. Like, it's almost like the guy disappeared after that movie. So I'm just wondering, does that really affect, if you're open about your faith, does that affect what you can get into or if people want you or not?
It does affect. But I think what happens, you know, think about it. I don't know when you got saved, but think about, I can tell you my story in a sense of, I know when I got saved. And I got saved religiously in that sense. And so I started hammering people with Jesus.
Right. Yeah, we all hit them over the heads with Bibles.
we hit them over the head.
It's
and
terrible.
Instead of letting God transform us on the yes. inside. And don't get me wrong, we do it for the right reason, because now we found that we needed salvation and we want everybody to be saved. We want everybody to go to heaven and everything else. But we don't know how to actually speak to them
yes.
and be a friend to the unlovely. And so what happens is that you end up like hitting people over the head. And, you know, I don't really know all of Shia LaBeouf's story, but I do know the things that I've seen, quote unquote, YouTube and all that kind of stuff. It just looked like he went a little, you know, overboard in some places. As a Christian, you know, you turn me off.
Yeah, there's so much truth to that. I mean, I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people need to hear that. I mean, we get, you know, the scripture talks about getting zealous with like no wisdom. So it's like
right,
we're
exactly.
all fired up. We're really excited. Instead of being,
exactly.
like you said, loving people, we're just like, man, you need Jesus and this is why. And there's like no follow up. It's like, well, just come to church with me or something like that. When in fact, really what they need is a friend.
They need somebody to love them. They need somebody to understand where they are because we've been there or those kind of things. See, what happens is that a lot of it comes from bad teaching, because the reality of the situation is that we are supposed to catch the fish. But what happens is that we're taught to go scale the fish out there in the midst of the pond. Really, the lost are supposed to be received as they are. They don't get cleaned until you bring them into the family. But we let the family run amok, and then we want to go clean the lost.
Amen.
That's backwards.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I'd say to that, too, it's not even our job to clean. Like, so many people get caught up in the fact, like, hey, you need to quit smoking, or you need to quit drinking, or quit cussing, or quit stealing, and
right.
all those things. And here's the deal. When they have an experience like you and I have had and
mm-hmm.
what we talk about with the Lord, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. I don't stop doing those things because I have to. I stop doing those things because I want to, because I've found a
right.
relationship that's so intimate and so deep that I realize that's not who I am. So I no longer want to, we talk about acting, I'm acting out a part that's not me.
There you go. You know, and that's part of what God taught me through acting, through the medium of being an actor, is that the reality is that we are all supposed to be acting like this one character. And this one character, his name is Jesus. And so the script is the Bible. So we take on his words. And the way that you really portray a character is that you take on the words that the writer wrote and you begin to think like that character. And so our job is to think like Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have his words. We speak them as him in our skin. Now, that's our job. But
Amen.
See, now I know how to do that well on stage, and I've won many awards on stage. I know how to do that on film. And so God said to me, what I want you to do is to teach my people how to be me in their skin. So as an apostle, prophet, and teacher, that's what I do. And that's why I say a lot of it has to do with bad teaching. Doctrine is still important. But as you take a look at what people say these days, is that doctrine is not. Well, Jesus said, be careful of the doctrine, the leaven of the Pharisees.
Man, there's so much truth to that. Man.
You understand? And it's just crazy stuff. It's all in there written, but we have to correlate it right, or else you won't live it right.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you brought all that up, because so many times, I mean, it's taken me 18 years, and it's a journey. We're all on a journey to figure that
Correct.
Stuff out. But the thing is, and especially for our listeners right now, is, man, when you first get saved, it is just not about do's and don'ts. And we get so caught up in doctrine and theology and things like that. If we would just focus on relationship, I'm telling you, all that stuff just works itself out. And I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying that but when we focus on just the do's and don'ts and the things of what we're supposed to do instead of the relationship side of it, then we just get caught up like a Pharisee and we get stuck in the motions of it.
Well, you know what it is too, John, is this. It's like this, you know, the Bible says if you don't know how to run your family, you don't know how to run the church. And so what happens is that when you have children or when you get married, and we know that husband and wife is a depiction of Christ and his church. And so when we get married, there's a way and there's a principle that caused that thing to work the way that it should. And there's those same principles cause us as those who are married to the Lord as our husband to be conformed into his image and likeness, to be the ones who are a help that is meet for him because we are the bride of Christ. And so when we get to those kind of things, then we start putting God's family back together correctly. Well, it's the parents who parent the children, not the children who parent each other. And so what happens is that when you end up getting into doctrine, well, that doctrine should come from the parents. That's why he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But what happens now is that we have no respect for them. And so we have children raising children. Well, what happens in the natural when that happens? They all end up in a ditch.
Man, I've never even thought about that, man. That is so good. I've heard so many analogies, but when you talk about children raising children, man, I've never thought of it that way. And there is so much truth to that. I mean, when you think in the natural, a family when kids are left to themselves and they raise each other, you end up with some messed up kids, man.
And think about it from this perspective, too. You know how in the beginning we were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge, you know, because we couldn't handle it. And so what happens is that now, increasingly, as things go on, what we get is more and more of that apple. There's more and more. You can get a word from 20,000 different places. Well, you know, I mean, I know that I take vitamins. Those are supplements to the meal. I eat the meal, and then I end up having to take vitamins if I don't get great meal. And so what happens now is that we think all these supplemental words are our meal. And so now you can't even run a congregation with one vision because everybody's getting different visions from different pieces and puzzles. You can turn on every TV. My God, if you go on Facebook, everybody and their mother has an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But who gave their life to Christ to die for the people?
Yes.
I mean, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So unless somebody has given their lives to die for you in order for them to have interest in your life, you shouldn't be listening to them. But we do.
Man, Cameron, that's really good wisdom, brother. That's good stuff. All right, so we're going to jump all over the place. I know we are because you got me all excited. But I want to got me all going on here. But okay, so what I want to talk to you about is when I read your bio, I read a really blessed career. It's been fun. You've got to do a lot of great things, okay? But that's the upside to what a lot of us get to see. What I want to ask you is if you would just take me to a moment that was just really deep and dark for you during your career that you really just had to cry out to God and say, God, one of those, like, if you don't show up type of, like the Israelites on the edge of the sea, like either you're going to part the sea or we're going to die. I want to hear one of those moments in your life, and I want to hear what God did.
Well, you know, let me first of all say that there are a lot of them. So, you know, I warn the listeners right now because sometimes we do want to glamorize all kind of things and we don't like to hear what people are going through. We don't mind what they went through, but we don't want to hear what they're going through because nobody really cares. So what happens is that you have to understand is, yeah, there have been a lot of dark moments. And as I say this too, part of how I want to say it, I also have to protect the lives of people in the midst of it, because I don't want to be talking about other people.
That's good.
So please understand that too. So some things I won't say, not because I wouldn't say it about myself, but they would also reveal other people, and I don't want to do that.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Respect the integrity of other people.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Right or wrong, they have a life and they have a soul that God wants to save, and I want to leave it that way. In the process now of saying, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and give up this whole system of what Hollywood is. They want me to do partial body nudity. Even it got to the point where they said to me, you know, we'll give your body double. And then the Spirit of the Lord said, well, you know, you have to, you know, shun the very appearance of evil. People will think it's you. So I have to walk away still. And so I did that and I lost everything. I went bankrupt. My ex-wife left, took my children. I ended up sleeping in the back room of a woman who was on welfare. And I, you know, I had the big house on the hill, you know, the Mercedes, the this and the that, and money was good. Things were just, you know, on an upswing, and lost everything. Now, 30-something years later, you know, God has restored everything above and beyond all that I can ask or think. However, people have to understand, you didn't wake up one day saying, I'm going to have two families. Yeah. You didn't wake up saying that. You know what I'm saying? And so when they see all of what God is still doing, they don't understand the pain of not having raised your children. They don't understand the pain of having to go through now regaining a relationship with your children. Those were hard things in the midst of, you know, things that I had to, you know, when I couldn't see them, when I couldn't speak to them, when I couldn't, you know, impart any kind of wisdom to them, when I couldn't watch over their lives, or when they were going through certain things that I could not do anything about. You know, I had got threatened to be put in jail like 2 or 3 times just for trying to see my children. And yet, you know, while you're trying to see your children and being threatened, people are calling you a deadbeat dad.
That's hard.
It's just insane, because as a man, you always assume that it was your fault. And hey, I didn't ask for divorce. I was divorced by someone. But you can't tell that to anybody because they don't care. They don't believe you. You're the man.
Right.
So that was a very dark, dark moment. And when I say moment, you know, I mean years of a moment, because my son, you know, and I have 3 sons, but this one son that I'm talking about, I only saw him maybe for 8 months, a year. And then he was gone out of my life.
Wow.
You know, I had a daughter that I had raised, man, till she was 8 years old. We were so close. It was, I mean, scary, beautiful. And the worst night of my life was when I told her Dad was no longer going to be with Mom. We actually sat in the middle of the floor, hugged up, cried all night. Well, nobody sees that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that was rough.
So I want to ask you this. How has God restored that in your life? Because those are some really hard. I got some friends that have gone through that. Mm-hmm. And it's being close to my friends and having to see them walk through that has been gut-wrenching. But I've seen, you know, I've also got to see some of the restoration part of that. How has God restored some of that for you?
Well, you know, not only has he given me a wife that is, I don't even have words to describe my wife. She is that awesome. She is that godly. She is that with me. She is that for me. She is that before me. She is that, you know, undergirding of me. I mean, I have no other thing that I can say, but it is God showing his love for me. You know, God showing that he is enthralled with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and one, that's one place. But even the children that I just talked about, now we have a relationship that's budding, that is kinetic, that is spiritual. You know, I got a chance to lead the daughter I said that I raised her until she was 8. I got a chance to lead her to the Lord.
Oh,
you know,
awesome.
So all those things, you know, came back, but that's like 20 years later.
Yeah, that's hard, man.
You know, and so you have to trust God in the midst of that. And while he is excelling your life on one end, on one side, there's an undercurrent of pain that you're going through and have to, you know, there are times at night, man, that I've actually cried not knowing where my son was, or I've actually cried, you know, realizing that I'm not there. Just about maybe about a good 6 months, 7 months ago, I ended up seeing a picture of him when he was, I guess, 4 or 5, and he was with a little friend of his. I have no understanding or knowledge of that time of his life. I have no knowing who that friend was. I don't know anything about that experience, and it pricked me.
Yeah, that's hard.
You know what I'm saying? And so I have to now allow God to comfort me in the times of knowing that I have an entire span of life and time with them that I don't know. And I'll never gain back.
Yeah.
But I have gained them back.
Yeah. Amen. He does restore. It's funny you say all that.
Yeah.
The other day I was sitting there just thinking, I think I have like these epiphanies when I take a shower. So it's amazing. But anyways,
yeah, I have
man,
a bathroom relationship with the Lord too.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's just something. But I was sitting there thinking about that like all the hard things that we go through our life. So many times people, we sit there and we complain and we gripe and we moan. I think, you know, kind of like an Israelite when you read the Old Testament and things like that. But I look back now and I wouldn't change any of it. And I've been through some horrific things in my life. And as much as it would be great to change those things, but what it's done is God's not just restored that, though. It's given me a heart for people and a compassion for people. And it's given me a relationship with him that, you know, if I had the choice, if somebody said, hey, you could go back and throw some fairy dust on it or whatever, and you could change it, you know, I could honestly say I wouldn't change it. And for some people, they'd say, I can't even fathom that. But the thing is, but it's grown me into the person. I've embraced what has happened, allowed God to heal my heart, and it's allowed me to make an impact in other people's lives. And I can honestly say, I don't know if I would have done that had those things not happened. And it's hard, but it's hard. I mean, it's a hard thing to walk through, but sometimes people just need to ask God, hey, what are you doing in the midst of this? And walk me through it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I had my son ask me that same question. He said, if you can go back and redo anything, what would it be? And I said to him, you really can't do that. You say that, you know, you think that you would, but you can't because nothing stands on its own by itself. Everything that happened tagged into something else. And even if in the dark moments, it built a muscle in you that you had to have for your future. And so I'm going to answer you, but I want you to understand that I really wouldn't change anything. Now, I can give you some things that I wouldn't have liked, but I can't say that I would change because it makes everything the way that it is now.
Just side note real quick. I just got done watching this series. I'm not a big promoter of other things, but we just watched this Netflix series called Frequency.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, it's really cool concept. But anyways, what it is her and her dad are talking over the span of 30 years over like a microphone.
Yeah, and I remember the movie. Yeah, it was made out of a movie.
Okay, so but what's crazy about it is it's a great concept when you think about things that are past, because her mom gets murdered, her dad gets killed, and over all these things, they're constantly trying to change what's going to happen. And it's really interesting because throughout the series, it was like a 12-part series or whatever, every time they did just one something different, she would have the old memory, but she also had the new memory in like her life. Like one minute she could be standing at work having a conversation about somebody who got killed. And then the next minute they didn't get killed. They were a good person, or it was just really weird. And we don't realize that we dwell on things in the past thinking we can change them, but we don't realize how much it would have changed our life if it really did happen. So, all right. So I'm totally on a side note, but anyways, so Cameron, I want to ask you this, brother. What do you feel like your biggest strength is in what you're doing? Because I do want to ask you, you're doing production. When I read your bio, man, you're doing production and music and film and all this stuff. What is your biggest strength in what you're doing?
Wow. And what I'm doing, I think the biggest strength is that all of it is tied into promoting Christ or promoting those who promote Christ. That's our focal point. We want to make sure that everything that we do has some kind of redemptive, some kind of instructive, some kind of a relationship aspect with God. And so what I love about it is that it allows me to go into the marketplace and to bring about Christ in some kind of way, some kind of form that somebody will understand and accept. Everybody's not coming into the four walls right now. And so we have to break out of the four walls and go to them. And sometimes what's really going on is that our new four walls are the movie theaters, the podcasts, you know, the internet, you know, those kind of things that, you know, back in the day when television came into being, instead of the Christians overtaking television, at some point we pulled out and called it, you know, an evil thing. And of course, without the light there, it just got worse. Well, today there are all these mediums of ways to get over to the people, and we can't stay out of it. And so our purpose, if you will, our mission is to captivate the airwaves through sound programming. And so our job is to inundate, to invade every airspace with Christ. And so that means whether it's a film, whether it's a sitcom, whether it's, you know, a talk show, man, we're going to put it out there. And our prayer, of course, is that people who really love Jesus will get behind and actually pay for what God is doing. Man, we got to stop. We have to stop esteeming the secular.
Yeah, start investing in the kingdom. Okay, this is a perfect time before I ask you some more questions. So what you just said, I want you to hear this. So I was praying for you before the show started. I do this for most of my guests. Sometimes I don't have time to, but I got a word for you, Cameron, that I want to read to you that I heard the Lord saying for you specifically, and it goes along with what you just said, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I heard. It says, Cameron, you are a connector of people. And God says to you, as you connect and bring people together, more doors are going to open for you. This will be your answer to prayer to get into places you felt previously were shut. As you open doors for my children, I'm going to open doors for your business. And that's what I heard the Lord say for you.
Amen. Amen. And I received that. That is so God in the sense of, man, we are supposed to be promoting each other. You know, I tell the people that I teach, I tell them this, your name should never be on your lips. It should always be the name of Jesus or in the name of somebody else. You should be always promoting Christ and someone else. You should never be promoting yourself. And
that's
so
good.
What happens is that we end up promoting ourselves because Christians are not living Christian lives. So you end up having to fend for yourself when somebody else is supposed to be fending for you. And so the trick is to not fall into that lie,
yeah,
if you would, because you have to do it anyway. And you have to do it his way anyway. And when you do it that way, people think that there's a string attached. No, there's no string attached. This is just God's way. We miss the fact that he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way that belongs to God that the world sometimes does better than we do. They get in cahoots with each other just to get to the bottom line. But we don't understand that it's by what every joint supplies that we grow. And we have to get a better mindset and a selfless mindset, or else we just won't make it.
Man, that's good. Just as we serve people, just love people and serve them, doors start opening up.
And so it's like this. Now, we're talking to each other right now. And for your listeners, they have to understand, what you're doing right now is that you are reaching out to me and you're lifting me up in the process of all of what God is doing in my life. But the reality is that now as we do that for each other and as we bring more people into the pot of understanding God's ways, the more colossal we all become, not because we're trying to pump ourselves up, but we're so willing to pump each other up.
That's really good, because I think there is so much. But the strength in that, though, Cameron, is people identifying with who they are in Christ. So think about church, though. So many people are insecure about who they are and don't recognize that they have an individual gift and talent, that they were created for a purpose, because some people haven't recognized that yet. What happens is you get envy and strife and jealousy within the church.
Yeah.
And people don't want to promote each other because they say, oh, well, things look great for you. That's great for you. Or God's doing that in your life, but he's not doing anything in my life. Well, because they haven't maybe asked or they haven't stepped into it. But all of us, you know, I told somebody the other day, it is God's glory when he shines through us, when he's able to utilize, when we utilize our gifts and talents, he shines through us. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, you know, I was thinking of like Usain Bolt. I love watching that guy run. But at the end of the day, it's not him that got the gift. It might be him who gets to use that gift, but God gave him the gift. And it's God's glory, whether that guy's saved or not. I have no idea. But I can recognize the gift and the talent that God's given him, and that's God's glory happening right there.
Right. You know, I know his parents are definitely on the save tip, and I don't know how far he's gone, but the bottom line is that you're right. You know, God has given him something, and he's using it. And now, if he will use it for God, then God will have a platform to be seen and heard. The Bible said that the wisdom of a poor man is not heard. And so in order for you to be actually able to make an impact in the world, you have to excel from the world. You have to be able to compete where they compete. You have to be as high or higher than where they are, because if they're doing is working in the world for them, they don't even know they didn't need your God.
Amen. All right, Cameron. So for the sake of time, I got a couple more questions. We're going to slowly wrap things up. But I want to ask you, with all the things you got going on right now, what is the biggest thing that God has stirring inside of you?
You know, it's funny because I think it has to do with what she's just saying, what we're talking about right now. I am so pinpointed on getting people to understand the collaborative aspect of who they are. When you take a look at the early church, what God did is that he took a people that were selfish and he made them all selfless at the same time. When he did that, nobody had anything nobody had need. Nobody had any, no, they all shared. They all became one. They all gave. They all, you know, it's a kingdom mindset. When Jesus prayed and he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is a forming of heaven on earth. That's really my concentration point. It is the getting the individual person to understand that the whole point of being left on the earth is so that the Father God can make you like Jesus in your skin. So you may not be called to do the same thing, but you are called to be the same kind of person. And that person will live a life that is supernatural and do so many signs and wonders and works in other people's lives that one person will actually captivate an entire nation. Now, as you get a group of people like that are so selfless with each other, like the book of Acts, then it becomes one heart, one mind. The world can't contend with that. And that's what Jesus Christ is coming back for.
Man, that's good. Man, we're speaking the same language, brother. Come on, man. Okay,
that's so what it's all about.
You know, it is. It's just lifting people.
And people will look at you and think that you're about media or you're about being an actor, you're about being a star. No, man, that's just a field that I'm sent into. I couldn't care less. The bottom line is that it is a field of harvest that God wants me to work in it, that God wants me to flourish in it. He wants me to flourish in business. He wants me to flourish in his kingdom. And all those areas I give myself to, but to fulfill his will, not my own. And then he takes care of the rest. But the whole point is that he's putting his family back together. And he's wanting us individually to be him and to be a collaboration of his family that is all him. Because there's only one son, and that's Jesus Christ. And we all have to be conformed to his image and likeness. Now, we're called to be a knee, we're called to be an eye, but the bottom line is that it's one body. And so that one body follows one DNA.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and the thing is, too, when people start grasping that and they start lifting each other up, they start to love each other. Yeah. And you talk about promoting people. I mean, things just multiply faster and miraculously faster than anything we could ever do naturally.
That's right. Well, you know, the word tells us that he commands the blessing where there's unity.
Mm.
And so, you know, you have the potential of doing something on your own, which the world does, and they do pretty well. They've achieved more stuff sometimes than the church, even by themselves. And so it's not like that it can't be done outside of God. But the thing about it is that what God wants to do is on a God level. God is the creator of heaven and earth. God wants to do what the world cannot do. And he will only do it, though, his way. And so when we get so fixated on him and his way, then we are now doing things that the world will have to marvel at. That's why they said the Philistines envied them. The world has to get to the point now of envying the church. And right now, the world looks at the church like, whatever.
Yeah.
That shows you something is missing.
Yes, absolutely. And unity, love, and just, but you know what? I'm inspired, though, and I'm excited because granted that's there, but God is doing so many things on a different level, bringing people like you and Jackie, and I just got to interview some people over at Bethel Church and things like that, that God is just sending people into the workplace, and churches are just restoring people and making a huge impact.
Yeah.
And that's exciting, man.
It's very exciting. And we have to understand that regardless of what we see, how we feel sometimes, is that God always has a remnant.
Yes.
There's always a remnant of thicket. So, it's like there's always 7,000 more. You know, those kind of things are true today. And God is moving in an undercurrent of congregations and churches and people. And we have to know that because he's bringing us together while we're all seeking each other out, man. He's making the plan work.
Amen. All right.
That's exciting.
Cameron, I want to ask you, this is my last question, big one. I had to skip some for the sake of time, but this goes back. We kind of hit on this a moment ago. So if you get to go back to the younger you, do you remember the movie Big with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to get to go back to the younger you. You can't change anything, but you can give yourself some advice to encourage yourself and to propel you into the future of what you know you're going to go through. What advice would you give yourself? The older you is going to give the younger you some advice, brother.
Now, here's what's funny about that before I answer that question. I'm writing a book on that right now.
Dude, spill the beans, brother. This is your show. Let's hear it.
Well, so what I would say to myself, let me give you, let's say, three things that I would say to myself. One, I would, of course, receive Christ at an earlier age and actually follow him. You know, and so that would be my first thing, is that I would actually give myself to Christ in such a way as I have given myself to him now and have a longer track record, a longer life of listening and obeying. That's number one. Number two, I would prepare my finances better. I would understand that money has a purpose, because religion tells you that it's not about the money. As long as you got Jesus. No, money has a purpose, and that's to fulfill the will of Jesus. And so I would have handled my finances a whole lot better. Number three, I would have made sure that I waited until I found the right help that is meet for me. I would have not made the mistake of marrying for secular reasons, for, sexual reasons or whatever else. I would have understood that the woman that was meant for me would come alongside me and be a Christ believer and a Christ dweller and a Christ everything along with me. That I would have done differently.
Those are powerful, man. Those are three things that every young person, man, early 20s needs to hear, because those are the three things that you just said right now are the biggest decisions that you'll ever make in your entire life.
They are.
Hands down. Finances, who you're going to marry, and whether you decide to know the Lord, follow the Lord or not. I mean, you cannot have three bigger decisions in your life.
drugs, those are the top three, and people will understand that. And again, the reason why I'm writing the book is because I'm writing it for the young children that are in our church. When I look at them and I realize that the things that they're going to have to deal with that are far greater than the things that I have seen, when I spoke to my mom, and she's 80, and I said, "Mom, I love you, and I know that it's either crazy kind of conversation, but I am so happy for what you won't see." Because I know that she would have never thought that she would have seen, you know, two men walking around kissing. You know, I know that has to grieve you, and because it grieves me. But the bottom line is that, you know, there are things that our children are going to see that we would not ever perceive. So we got to prepare them more strongly. And so I'm writing the book for them because I want them to make these decisions and choices by watching me and by knowing exactly point A, point B, point C on how to get it done.
Cameron, when your book comes out, man, I'm going to have you back on. We're going to talk about your book because I'm excited about that.
Oh, fantastic.
And
fantastic.
We'll promote your book. So, Cameron, for our listeners, where do we find you? How can we team up with you, help you, see what you're doing, any of that stuff? I noticed you speak, you do different things. So how do we connect with you?
Correct. In three ways. One, you can go to BYOBB.TV. That's BYOBB.TV. You can go to CameronArnett.com, CameronArnett.com, or you can go ahead and go to CamiArnett.com. That's CamiArnett.com. And those three ways will get you involved with everything that we're doing. And if you need us to come to a church to speak, if you're doing a workshop, whatever it may be, whether it's media, whether it's marriage, whether it's leadership, you name it, we do it. And the whole point is to make sure that Christ is totally involved in everything.
Man, that's exciting. All right, Cameron, hold on, my friend. I'm going to close out the show. Roar Nation, this was a fantastic, lot of value dropped in today's episode. Definitely the last thing, the big three, marriage, finances, and knowing the Lord. I mean, there's so much value there. But guys, please check out Cameron, support him. If you need somebody to speak, whatever you need, all of his links will be on our website. Go to rureal.org. Please rate and review us. And hey, guys, somebody needs to hear this message out there. Please share the link to our show. Text it to a friend. Share it on Facebook, whatever. We just want to get the message out there to change people's lives, to help them find purpose, passion, and what they were created to do. So guys and gals, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, at the end of the day, be real, be authentic, and be you. Thanks for tuning in.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.